Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Grimaldi out by the blue line on the left point for Yossi. Wandering that half wall, turning is Smith, gives it back to Grimaldi. That shot's tough, and the rebound to score! Nick Foligno! It's 1-0 Nashville! Sent back there for Craig Smith, shaking off to Hahn, trying to center it. And Strome came over to add in the defensive effort. Right point, Fabro, a shot stopped in front, and the rebound is shoveled in! Second effort there. Predators extend their lead to 2-0. Smith at the blue line. Irwin, a one-timer. That goes wide. Rebound out for Hamhuis. Got it around Nylander. Held left side. Quick shot there. That goes off the Miller. And the rebound and the score. Yep, it's time for hats, folks. And time runs down. Predators take this one 3-0 over Chicago, a goal in each of the three periods, all by Nick Foligno.
Oh, what a night for him. He's been he's had a hot start to the season. He's been a really awesome player for us this year, and I'm happy for him. Just three kind of similar goals in front of the net, and that whole line was playing really, extremely well with Smitty and Rocco, and they were creating all night, so really happy for them.
Sometimes the puck sits there for you, sometimes it doesn't. Puck got some good bounces, hit me a couple times and just sat there. So just trying to get there, I knew, you know, Smitty and Rocco cycling. They were winning all their battles, getting pucks to the net, and just try to go to the net and find some rebounds.
And we welcome you into a Wednesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here live for the next 4 hours. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise, as you heard Pete Weber, and a handful of Nashville Predators here on ESPN 102.5 The Game last night. The Nashville Predators Radio Network as the Preds dismantle the Chicago Blackhawks 3-0 last night at Bridgestone Arena. And boys, we got a hell of a show today. We got what did transpire yesterday, what did not transpire yesterday, and everything in between. Happy hump day.
Obviously, stay safe out there. The weather crazy right now. I know after totaling my car a couple of months ago that every time it rains like this, I get a little tenser when I drive into work in the morning. It takes me a little bit longer. So everybody, just be safe. You'll get there when you get there. Yeah, Preds totally dominated. They approached a couple of different records, and I did think about you, Nick, at the end of the game.
Shots on goal?
As I'm staring at the shots on goal counter.
Yes.
I still don't agree with your basic level of anger that you have towards NBCSN. I don't necessarily.
Well, me and my counselor, we hash that every Thursday at 2 p.m.
That's something you got to deal with, and that's okay. You know, when you sit down and talk to Derek about life, and he gives you advice. I think, you know, what, 51 shots they finished with, I believe. I think the record, franchise record, is 55.
Mm-hmm.
I think 35 was the record shot differential. I think yesterday they finished in the 32 range, so they didn't quite get to either one of those two records. But approaching those two records, and it shows you how dominant they were last night, because they absolutely peppered Chicago all night long from the beginning to the end. They probably should have won by more, to be honest. But that was a dominant performance from start to finish, and something you wanted to see from this team, because they have not been good in the first and second periods necessarily. They're doing a lot of coming from behind in the second and third periods this year, so that's good to see them jump on a team with purpose and play really well.
So the Predators win 3-0 last night. They improved to 8-3-1 on the season. They have won four straight, now sitting on 17 points. And to your point, that really could have been like a 10-0 game last night if it wasn't for Robin Lehner playing out of his mind. Because you talk about sometimes this year where the Predators' defense has let down Juuse Saros. Chicago's defense let him down all night long. Foligno with the hat trick. Pekka continues to be impeccable, no pun intended. Rocco, three assists, I believe his first three-point game of his career last night. And if you look at this now, Pekka Rinne is 7-0-1. His goals against 1.74. His save percentage 9.37. He is right now third in goals against, third in save percentage, second in wins in the NHL. Don't look now, and I know we're only 12 games in with 70 to go, but he's right there for Vezina conversation.
Yeah, I think Wyshynski had his article up on ESPN.com with all of the, you know, his projected winners for all the major awards. I mean, it's, I'm okay with like mid-season awards. Maybe if you want to do like two of them a year. I don't know if you need to do them like every 12 games, but I'm sure that's what the editors are asking him to do at ESPN.
We need content.
Predict all of the awards. God.
People click on that left and right.
Why did that sound like Napoleon Dynamite? I'll do whatever I feel like. Greg Wyshynski, what are you doing? Whatever I feel like.
Greg, I need 750 words. Can you get it to me by 3?
Connor McDavid, by the way, I believe was his pick to win the MVP. But he did have Pekka Rinne as the Vezina Trophy winner right now. He had Roman Josi as the number 2 behind John Carlson amongst defensemen for the Norris Trophy. I know you're on record as saying this is going to be Roman's year to do that. Ellis and Josi, I think 13 points through 11 games. I saw this graphic on the game last night. Obviously, with the contract extension signed yesterday by Roman Josi, of course, like a bazillion dollars. The two of them, it's the first time a defense pairing has had 13 points, both of them, through 11 games since like the early 90s, since like 92, 93. So they are on a very unusual production track right now, Josi and Ellis. And, you know, but Nick Bonino gets the hat trick last night and an easy win. So a couple easy wins, and Preds keep stacking up the points. 17, first place.
Obviously, yesterday, big day. All the news started coming out midway through our show. Everything was kind of basically official late in our show. And then by 10 o'clock, I mean, it was virtually a done deal. We had the announcement yesterday. Roman Josi, monster contract. And, you know, it's interesting is one of my biggest takeaways from that was from a David Poile perspective, if you think about what this guy has done over the last couple of months, he's gotten Matt Duchene, a guy he's coveted. He goes out, and obviously he's a part of the decision-making process to bring in Dan Lambert. And then, you know, you ultimately get Yossi's deal done, and you do it at a point where it's like, whoa, he got him for 9.059, and obviously there's some, you know, synchronicity there between 9.059 and the jersey number he wears.
It also makes
it's incredible.
It also makes it the highest AAV that they've ever given a player. Mm-hmm. I know that they did not give PK Subban his contract for whatever, however phrase you want to use. They did not offer that to him. That was the Montreal Canadiens who gave him that contract. But the $9 million salary, AAV-wise, for PK Subban was the highest Predator player to ever get paid, essentially, during a calendar year. From an AAV standpoint, and this one will be higher. So it's not only the largest contract they've ever given anybody as a free agent or a re-signing, but it's also the largest AAV they've ever paid any player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the complete no movement clause, so he can control where he wants to be. And they, you know, asked about that yesterday. I think Adam Vingan asked David Poile about that yesterday, and David Poile said, no, this is not a thing we're doing. We gave a little bit of it to Matt. We gave Matt Duchene a taste, and we gave it all to Roman Josi. But these are very special circumstances. We are not in the business of giving out no movement clauses, so don't expect that to be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give Roman Josi complete control, essentially, on his future. And he said yesterday very clearly, me, my family, my wife, my friends, we want to be in Nashville. I want to retire a Nashville Predator. I want to be here for my entire career, and that means a lot to the fans, obviously.
So David Poile, to me, he just continues to show us why he's in rarefied air as an NHL general manager. You look at the wins, you look at the way the guy can structure a contract and have all the fans saying, whoa, he got the better end of the deal. You look at the awards. I just think that all that's left now for David Poile is to win the cup. And I'm going to channel what I would presume is my inner Mr. Bruno in the city of Detroit back in the 70s. There's an old adage. You can lead a horse to the well, but you can't force the horse to drink. Like, David Poile has done his part. Yeah, I mean, it's now up to these guys to win the cup. I don't know what else this guy could do as far as putting an organization in a position to succeed.
It's funny. I've never heard the adage with well in it.
Did you like that?
And I like that. I've always heard it, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. Basically the same thing.
Okay.
There's nothing really left for him to accomplish and outside of the cup. And so, as we talked about yesterday, if Roman Josi is the guy that you believe is the leader, is the captain, is is the player that you need to win a Stanley Cup championship, and he needs to be your captain, then make it work. And it sounds like actually that's what happened. Is, you know, they were, you know, Poile was 8.5, Josi was at 9.5. He said, all right, come on, let's meet in the middle. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal happen. And it sounded like it happened pretty quickly. They got back into town after the game on Saturday and had a couple phone calls, and boom, the deal's done. So,
all right. We will come back and get it going here on a Monday, or excuse me, a Wednesday. If you want to jump in, 615-737-1025, the number.
Don't make it Monday.
Yeah, we can't rewind it back. We'll do that at 9:45.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. You will hear from Preds General Manager David Poile, Peter Laviolette, Roman Josi. Lot to get to this morning. We've got a D-Mace dissection. We've got Derek Mason from Vanderbilt. Sean Henry's going to join us. Adam Vingan, busy show today. Stay safe out there. Stay dry. We're back after this on ESPN 102.5 Again.
We're very, very excited to announce that our captain, Roman Josi, has committed to the Nashville Predators for the next 8 seasons. Not only is Roman our leader as our team captain, but he is one of the best, most elite defensemen in the National Hockey League. Although he has yet to win a Norris Trophy, I'm predicting that it's going to happen as soon as this year. Roman has averaged more than 50 points a season in his last 5 campaigns from 13-14. He ranks among the top defensemen year after year in not only points, but in time on ice. And under his leadership, the Predators have won 2 consecutive Central Division titles, as well as a President's Trophy 2 years ago. And I am confident that Roman is the perfect captain to lead us to our ultimate goal, a Stanley Cup championships. I could go on and on about the accolades that Roman has already accomplished in his career, like All-Star appearances, World Cup of Hockey, World Championship medals, the Campbell Cup as the Western Conference champion, but I truly believe the best is yet to come. Just like one of his heroes and another Swiss superstar athlete, Roger Federer, we have no doubt that Roman will get better with age.
There you have it, Predators General Manager David Poile yesterday addressing the Roman Josi contract extension. It is Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Mark Keyes. So, D-Mace, back when you played with the Titans, when you played with the Ravens, and you got that big contract. Now, obviously, you didn't get like a contract like Roman Josi because it's different days, different times nowadays. Mm-hmm. What was it like that day when, whether it was Floyd or Ozzie Newsome or anybody in any front office, went to the podium and discussed the big payday for Derek Mason? I mean, that's got to feel like you've reached the pinnacle of everything you aimed for, right?
No, not really.
No?
No.
Yeah, it would be for me.
But it's funny how David Poile.
Plus one over here.
How David Poile gloats over the superstar. It's like, okay, if you knew all this stuff, why didn't you just sign me? You rambled off all this stuff. Why didn't we just get this done early?
Have you ever been in a negotiation, Derek?
And I'm just tongue in cheek. But no, I mean, it all depends on what is your ultimate goal. Is it to get paid? Then yes, you have reached it when you sign that contract. But if it's, you know, I want to win championships. I want to, you know, prove that I can continue to consistently play at a high level. Then that money is nothing but fuel to motivate you to continue to do what you've done. If you go to the podium and you're hearing all these things and you think, okay, now I have arrived, then now you're slowly on a decline. If you go to the podium and think, you know what, I'm going to prove to them that I'm worth every cent and maybe even more that they didn't give me, then you're going to continue to play at a high level. And I'm pretty sure that's Josi's thought pattern, is that, you know, I'm going to prove to them that I'm worth the money and maybe even more than what they, you know, what they gave me. And I'm going to continue to play at a high level. But yes, you're excited that you now, you know, you've got to a point where now you've gotten enough money. Not to say he didn't have enough anyway.
Yeah, I mean, making $3 million a year is not chump change.
You've gotten enough money that now you can, as far as financial security, you're okay. You don't have to worry about anything. And now it's just, you know, going out there and proving that you're worth. Because it gets harder now. It gets really hard now because everybody's going to point at the $9 million tag on your back. And if you're not playing to that $9 million tag, they're going to quickly forget that you're the captain. That's just the way it is. They're going to look at you a lot different than they do the other guys. They're going to look at you a lot different than they do the guy that's making $7 million. Because they're going to say you're the highest paid player on the team. And you're not playing at that level. And, you know, is it fair? I don't know. But
it's reality.
It's reality. Yeah. And it gets harder from here on out. So, you know, those that walk up to the podium and think, I've arrived, I've made it. Well, now, sir, you are slowly, or ma'am, you are slowly on your decline. But if you go up there and have the thought pattern of, you know, hey, I'm going to prove that I'm worth this and even more. And I'm going to consistently be the player that I have been and even better moving forward.
I would guess that it's both for Roman Yossi. I mean, the big payday is huge, but it's not like he was poor. Like, the guy's making $3 million a year for like 5 years. The guy's made a boatload of cash.
Hey, I can pay off my student loans
now.
Yeah,
like, oh, I'm comfortable now at $8, $9 million a year when I was scraping by at $3 million per year. But no, you want the money and you want the payday and you deserve it and you earned it and all that stuff. But to your point, Derek, you got to still want to be great. And I always say there's two types of players in the NFL. There's guys that want to get paid, and there's guys that want to be champions. And you can be both, but those are the only two kind of players, in my opinion. And Yossi is a guy who wants both. And he strikes me as a guy who cares more about the championship than the money, but no one ever in life has ever said, no, that's enough money. Like, I've never met a human that's like, no, that's enough. Looked at a stack of cash and been like, no, you keep it. So I think we're all cut from that cloth. The question is, who among us are still willing to work as hard once we've reached it? And I don't think there's any concern about Roman Yossi in that department at all. Now, I think a big part of this conversation, and I mentioned it quickly yesterday, but we need to have it, is what do the last 2, 3, or 4 years of this contract look like? Because he will be starting age 30 next year in June when this contract kicks in. And so you're talking about age 30 through 37 for this contract. And it is just the nature of sports. It's not a knock on the Preds or Roman Yossi. It's just the nature of sports. When you give a guy in his prime the biggest amount of money you can possibly give a guy, or at the longest amount of years you can possibly give a guy.
I mean, it's a max contract.
It's essentially a max contract in the NHL world, as close as you can get. And that means, you know, when the Angels gave Albert Pujols a giant contract, they knew full well that the last 5 or 6 or 8 of those 10 years or whatever it was were not going to be worth the money, but you're paying for it on the front end. So the question is, how much do you get out of him in the first 4 or 5 years? How quickly is the decline? It is I'm not trying to be negative here, but it's just a fact. You have to consider what does it do to your salary cap, the roster, you know, your ability to compete in years 5, 6, and 7 or 7, 8, you know, 6, 7, and 8 of the Yossi contract. Mm-hmm. It is something you have to consider. You don't have to worry about it now. It's not anything you have to worry about now. I mean, he's a great player, the best player on the team, a Norris Trophy candidate, and will be that, I would guess, for the next 3 or 4 years. But there will come a point where we look at the contract and go, oh, that's a, you know, how do we work around the contract? Whereas today we're celebrating the contract in a different way, right? Like, it's just a different thing to consider.
I think fans also look at it from the standpoint of, you know what, they sit there and say, yeah, I know how sports works and the back end is going to look pretty bad possibly, and that's just the price of doing business. You got to give to get. I don't think fans ultimately care, though, as long as it results in one. If you get me one championship, yeah. I will live with what could be a salary cap stricken older team later down the road. As long as I get that championship glory, I'll deal with, you know, maybe it bottoming out at some point.
I mean, that's the risk. That's the nature of the game. Like, right, you pay for a bunch of greatness and you hope it works and pays gives you the results you want, which is a Stanley Cup championship and parade. And if you get that, then it's worth every penny. If you don't, then, you know, you can already hear fans complaining in 2025 or 2026 or whatever it is that people are going, oh, man, I can't believe we're paying $9 million a year for a 36-year-old Roman Yossi who scored 18 points last year. Like, it's just not and that's just a part of the game. It's not Yossi's fault. It's not the Preds' fault. It's just sort of the nature of sports, especially in a sport where contracts are guaranteed.
Well, and Darren nailed it yesterday in the first 15 minutes of his show when they came on at 10 o'clock. That, yeah, it's great you got Yossi at this price, and yeah, you're paying Duchesne a lot, and Ryan Ellis' contract is now kicked in. He got that big extension. But eventually, the dam is going to break. You just can't keep handing out these big-time contracts This is not Major League Baseball where there's no salary cap. Sooner or later, you got to start trimming off money to make things fit because this is not fantasy sports.
No, it's not. But, I mean, the salary cap goes up every year. And, you know, yes, it's just the nature of sports, period. Whether it be basketball, football, or hockey. You know, eventually your team's going to get older and you're going to have to get younger, which means you're going to have to start cutting people. And it's not, I'm sure when David did this deal, they looked 5 years down the road. How does this deal affect us 3, 4, 5 years down the road? So they got contingency plans in place. They know they might have to pay another player in 2 years. That's just the price. If you want to be a good team, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
I don't think they're in a space that the Blackhawks were in, but I think they're in a space where they know they're structuring these contracts in such a way that, okay, when it comes that time, we should be able to maneuver out of things. The only contract he's stuck with is Roman Josi's. That's it. Nobody else's contract. So if he chooses to trade a player in 3 years, he probably can get back something, you know, that's going to make his team better and not have to pay a lot of money. So
I mean, Duchene and Johansson are the two biggest contracts
exactly. Outside
of Josi, and they both can be moved right now if they wanted to.
Exactly.
Not that we want them to, but that's just...
So it's not like they're stuck, you know. It's not like they're, oh, my goodness, we're stuck and we can't do anything for the next 4 years. No. I mean, one guy that they're stuck with, and they're happy they're stuck with him, and that's Josi. You know, 3, 4 years down the line, they can move guys.
I mean, he's very handsome.
Yeah, and they can bring guys in and move guys to the side. So I understand what Darren's saying. He's right from a contract and salary cap standpoint, but they're not so strapped in 4 years where they got to just blow this thing up and got to restart all over again, or they end up like the Blackhawks and, you know, they go from the best team to the worst team in just a matter of a year or two. I don't think that's – we've always said that David Poile has been one of the smartest, if not the smartest GM. So if we're going to say that, then we can't come back and say, well, man, you know, eventually the Piper's going to come, and in 3 years, 4 years, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to release it. Well, I'm pretty sure he has a contingency plan in place where, you know, he can move contracts if he's here. That's if he's here.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, he's probably on an island smoking a cigar saying, you know, I did my part.
He couldn't care less what
you figure it out.
As he hands it over to his son at Thanksgiving dinner, he says, son, why'd you trade that guy? Why'd you move that? No. I find it interesting. It's sort of like when we look at the NFL and we look at the Titans and we look at all the rookie contracts, right? How important it is to build a chunk of your roster in the NFL on draft picks and why it's important to have – you know, the Jayon Browns and the Rashawn Evans and Derrick Henry's on rookie deals, and why you can build and pay Malcolm Butler, Kevin Byard, and Taylor Lewan big contracts is because you've got a bunch of other guys on rookie deals. This is where having UC Saros on a young contract for the majority of this Roman Josi deal, right? Because we know Pekka's under contract for a couple more years. That number goes down. But when he moves on and UC Saros is your starter, you will not be paying him like elite-level starter money. He's sort of like the quarterback on a rookie contract, in theory. I know he's not on his rookie deal, but you guys get the analogy here.
Mm-hmm.
Having an important top-four defenseman like Dante Fabbro under contract on a rookie deal, you know what I mean? Like having important pieces, whether it's Tolvanen or another piece on the offense, on these smaller contracts, that you have to have some of those guys worked into your roster to be able to continue to give all these huge deals out. And I think, you know, what Darren was talking about, I agree with you, Nick, listening to him. He's right. Something's going to have to happen. There will be a cap casualty of some sort next year, whether that's Craig Smith or Granlund. You know, somebody's going to, like, they're not going to be able to re-sign everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the deal. That's just part of sports, and David Poile will have a plan for that, and we assume he's got, you know, Turris might be traded because of it. Something. There's going to have to be money moved around because you're adding a $9 million cap hit next year. That's $6 million more than he was getting paid this year. You're going to have to find that $6 million somewhere else.
615-737-1025. Let's squeeze Corey in real quickly here. Corey, you're on Morning Drive. Corey, you go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just something I think is important to keep in mind where you talk about the back end of his contract is that, yeah, production's important, but so is good veteran leadership. Because at some point, probably in the not too distant future, like you were kind of alluding to, you're going to have to start retooling this team younger. Well, you need some kind of a consistent veteran leadership status that's kind of been through some of these wars to teach these young guys. Otherwise, they're going to have zero playoff experience and be right back where they were 4 or 5 years ago, where they got talent, but they don't know how to handle it when they get in these playoff situations and such. I just wanted to throw that out there and let you guys chew on that a little bit.
Yeah, they look totally capable of handling it last year. They had a lot of veterans last year, and they got smoked in the first round. So I get your point. Your point is valid. And the problem is you can't pay $9 million for leadership.
Right.
You pay $9 million for production.
Elite and, talent.
Yeah, like Scott Hartnell's a great leader. He was like $2 million. Right. You can go get great leaders at the deadline for cheap. You can get great, you know, veteran presences that have been around, that have been in the battles. Like, you can get those guys. In fact, that's a big part of the hockey trade deadline every year, is going to get veteran guys that are just role players. That's a big part of the deadline, unlike how not exciting the NFL was yesterday. But when you have the highest paid player on your team as your captain, he's got to deliver. And there's nothing to say that he won't. Mm-hmm. I think at least 5 years of this contract, you expect to be worth every single penny of it and for him to be great. I'm just saying there's a life cycle of a contract where we celebrate and he deserves it and he gets his money and it's great to have him here. Go buy your 59 jerseys because he ain't going anywhere, right? Like, let's celebrate and let's see what happens over the next 5 or 6 years. But you have to be prepared for, like, and David Poile is, for what's going to happen down the road, because it's a lot of money that's kicking in.
615-737-1025, the number. Preds fans, if you want to jump in on the Yossi contract news, you can certainly do so. 737-1025. Also, coming up on the other side, we got to get to what did not happen yesterday in Titans world, both with the trade deadline and also with what a lot of people were speculating could happen with the former starting quarterback. That's coming up next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 1025 The Game. 6:34, it is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
People driving around hearing that siren just started looking around in their cars like, what? What's going on?
I swear, officer, I wasn't texting and driving.
Yeah, it's just to wake y'all up.
Exactly. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise, good to have you in on a dreary, wet, rainy Wednesday. 737-1025. We'll get to the Titans in a second. Tucker wants to weigh in on the Preds and some of the cap casualty type stuff. Tucker, you go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. How about them boys last night? They really put 60 minutes together, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, it's one of the most complete showings of the year.
Oh, man, I loved it. Tricky Nicky got a hat trick. It was a great night. So at the end of the year, Poile's going to look at where he's at. He's going to look at the age. He's going to look at the performance. He's going to look at what we have at the Milwaukee Admirals, which they looking good. They're looking very good down there. And we have a lot of young studs that are itching to take a spot away from someone that we have. Poile, over the last 2 years, has locked down the core of this team for the next 8 years now with our captain re-signing. So at the end of the year, he's not going to feel bad for letting people walk away, just like we did real deal James Neal. And we'll bring someone up, they'll play with our superstars, and we'll just keep motoring along trying to finally win our first cup.
Well, it's actually a really good point, because
I love it, Tucker. Just blind, just will be dominant forever.
12, 18 months ago, we were saying, and people were writing, that the Predators had like a bottom five, quote, farm system. The cupboard was virtually bare. Now you can actually afford to move on from a guy like a Bonino or a Smith, because you have some guys just chomping at the bit to come up.
Yeah, I mean, Elie Tolvanen, Rem Pitlick are both guys that are future players on the squad for sure. You've got your first and second round picks from this past year, which are very highly thought of forwards in Tomasino and Igor Asanafiev. I can't ever remember if I'm saying that correct or not. The Russian, the big 6'4 kid in the second round, I believe. They're not playing for the Admirals, but they are two very talented youngsters. Jeremy Davies, you got in the PK Subban trade. He looks to be a developing prospect at the defensive position. Carrier is still down there. So it's a rebuilt system, and you don't need all those guys to hit. You just need a couple of them. You just need one or two of them to be really good and to be starters so that you can afford to pay some of these other guys. So I think Darren's analogy is the one I'm going to keep going back to. Just the dam will break at some point, and there will be cap casualties of some sort. I certainly don't think you can afford to keep Granlund and Smith at the end of next season. So does that make either of them a trade deadline chip? Maybe so. Is Tolvanen ready to come up? Does that make Craig Smith a trade chip, or Granlund? I mean, Granlund's played pretty well this year. So There's no reason to think that any of these guys should be moved, but you do have to consider the salary cap implications.
737-1025 if you want to jump in. So let's get to the Titans yesterday. John Robinson does not make a move before the trade deadline, which I think on this show we did not expect really much to go down. Nothing happens. But the big talk of the Twitter sphere yesterday in Titans world was this quote report that came out from F Words Pod, which is a Titans podcast and website and blog. And, you know, they do a pretty good job, but they basically yesterday went with this tweet, and I'll read it to you verbatim. Breaking news. Yes, this is real. Sources close to the situation tell me that former Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota is heading to the IR with an injury that he sustained in the preseason against the Patriots. More details will come as we get them. Now, a lot of people quickly started scrambling and trying to dig up all the information they could. Credit to Paul Kaharsky. He double sources it and says that that is not true. So Mariota is not traded. Mariota does not go to the injured reserve. And everybody's losing their mind over Josh Johnson and Taylor
Heineke.
Not Heineken.
Yeah, it's a beer.
Keep your hands off my Heine. Because the Titans were working him out.
Yeah. I feel bad for this. I feel bad for the guys that, you know, put this out and said their source. You got a bad source, man. That source is not a good source. Unless, you know, they thought about it and then said, you know what? Nah, maybe we're just not going to do it. But, I mean, you got, I think if you ask any GM out there, and luckily we have one, a former GM on his show, they're going to be working out guys all the time, even guys we don't even hear about. They're always, you can't, you'd be amazed how many times I've walked into the facility on a Tuesday to get, you know, to get treatment or to get an extra workout or to do something as far as community stuff, and you see guys that are working out, guys that they're working out. And that's just the nature of the business. You're always bringing in someone, whether to put on your practice squad or whether to, just in case something happens down the line, you can say, at least I've worked this guy out, I know what he's about, and I can go sign him. So, you know, them signing two guys, I mean, it's a big story because they're quarterbacks, you know. If Marcus is healthy and Ryan is healthy and they work these quarterbacks out, it's not a big story. But because one got benched and he's sort of kind of maybe hurt, it becomes a bigger story. Well, they got to work these quarterbacks out because
– and at the day of the deadline. Gordon thing just took place with Belichick.
So they got to work these guys out because you got one quarterback that has been injured, another one that's benched and might be injured. So we got to have a contingency plan here. So if something happens, we can bring in a guy quickly. We don't have to then work him out. So, I mean, I know it was a frenzy yesterday, and everybody was speculating and
so much
whatnot. So, but they do what every other GM around the league does. They work out guys, and just so happened, you know, it was
a perfect storm.
The 12th hour of a trading deadline, and you're working out guys. So.
We can continue this conversation and really take it to another level when we come back about just the rush to judgment in this day and age of sports media to be the guy first on Twitter with the source or the story as opposed to being the guy who got it right.
It's not just sports, too.
Yeah.
It's across the board. I've got a lot of thoughts, so we'll save it.
737-1025. If you want to jump in, it is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 6:45. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Marcus Mariota does not land on IR yesterday, as a lot of people were speculating, and one person or one entity was reporting. But I got to tell you, in the moment as I was reading that, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we know Marcus has an injury history. Would it surprise you that Tannehill became the starter because Marcus was banged up / ineffective / a combination of both? I didn't understand the whole Patriots preseason thing, but maybe that kind of explains why he was struggling a little bit. I still think the nerve never regenerated to 100%. And
that's possible.
If we go all the way back to last year, week 17, when everything went down and we're trying to figure out, well, Was it this injury? Was it that injury? Did he consult with a second source? Did he go to another doctor? If this story would have been true, wouldn't it just felt like typical Titans in Mariota with medical mystery?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, listen, I think I haven't been shy about this. I think Marcus is broken right now. I don't know if mentally that's partly his fault, but you know, some of it is that they didn't give him any help or protection at all last year. And, you know, we saw the list of injuries that he had at the end of the year that kept him out of the Colts game. I think you could go back to the broken leg in Jacksonville like 3 years ago where he didn't have an entire offseason to rehab. Like, he had no offseason to prepare to step in. And every year the offensive line has got progressively worse over this period of time. He finally actually went out and got some weapons for him. And now, you know, he mentally and physically, maybe spiritually and emotionally, he's just not there. And so I do feel like the Titans but carry some of the burden of his poor play. Not all of it. Most of it's on him. But there has to be an acknowledgement that the Titans did not do enough as an organization to try to, whatever it is, protect him, support him, give him the pieces. Listen, they just tried to get their best player killed on Sunday by running Brett Kern in a fake punt into Devin White. Like, that's they clearly have no care. And Ryan Tannehill, let's be honest, Ryan Tannehill didn't exactly get treated any better in Miami, because if you remember, he tore up the knee and then didn't have the surgery, right? Same thing with the Colts and Andrew Luck. They didn't necessarily handle Andrew Luck very well. This is not just the Titans' problem. He went, you know, Ryan Tannehill had the knee problem, didn't get the surgery, came back in camp, and if you'll remember, tore his ACL in practice on like a scramble drill, and then tore the knee up, and then had the shoulder problem and didn't get it fixed, and then shoulder got worse, and same thing with Andrew Luck. And so I don't think this is a Titans-only issue, but don't tell me the Titans played this perfectly fine. You know, to your point about, because that's all speculation. We don't know if there's what the seriousness of the nerve injury is. His arm certainly doesn't look the same as it did 3 years ago. There's no question about that. But the rush to get everything. I know in a deadline situation, it's maybe a little different. You're trying to break news at a deadline when things are swirling, because even the GMs in the NFL. I mean, look at what's happening with the Jets right now, right? Like the whole Jamal Adams dust up with their GM and the Jets, that's miscommunication within the organization. Two guys that actually could call each other and talk about it, much less a bunch of reporters who are just sort of doing work digging. I know it's different on a deadline situation, but you got to be right about stuff. We live in a world where it's just whatever it is. If you're reporting a story, if you've got an opinion on something, you got to have a take. You got to be get to Twitter and as fast as you can, and you got to have a take on something. I heard this. Let's get this out there so that we can get some attention. It maybe doing the slower, smarter, more in-depth, deep dive where you actually take a day or two to think about something, maybe that would benefit fans a little bit.
You've been on these situations where trade deadline, player, GM. I mean, how does this all play out? And we can make it about specifically about Marcus, but your past experiences where maybe you read something and it's like, well, that's news to me, because me and person X or person Y certainly haven't had that conversation, but apparently guy for the Daily News is reporting this.
I don't know if, I mean, when I got traded, it all happened so fast. It was, you know, I think they already had trade in place, and
did you find out directly though, or did you find out?
Called me and he said, I forget how he phrased it. Do you want to be traded? I think I said no. To me, they had the trade already in place to go to Houston. But he did call me like the day before or that morning, and then I get traded, you know, less than 24 hours later. It is what it is. Whether they give you heads up or not, it would be nice if they gave you heads up. But, you know, a lot of times you just can't, you know, you have no control over it. You know, they're going to trade you regardless. You know, whether...
You didn't find out through the news, though, right? Like, it didn't break through the media.
To my knowledge, I didn't find out through the news. You know, the head coach called me, and we talked about it briefly. And, And then next thing I know, it was like, okay, I got to pack my stuff and I got to head out to Houston, and I had to have somebody pack up my house and send my stuff to me. So, you know, it all depends on who the person is and who the organization is. You know, some organizations are good with that, you know, keeping a player in the loop or keeping his agent in the loop. And some organizations just don't care. They, you know, we're trading you, and you know, you think you're going to be here, and then you're not. So I'm sure in Marcus's case, if they were going to trade him, they would have gave him a heads up. They would have let his agent know, you know, a week in advance at least. You know, be, you know, there has been calls about your client, and we are in serious negotiations with some teams. It might happen, it might not, but just to let you know. I'm pretty sure they did. If that happened, they did that with Marcus. And if that happened from a IR standpoint, you just don't throw somebody on IR.
And that's
you
got
to talk to the player. You know, you, the doctor, the agent, y'all got to talk. And if it, at the end,
that's closed circuit though. That's within the organization. That's a lot easier to keep quiet.
If it then comes to a point where you say, okay, I'm gonna put you on IR. Everybody has discussed it. Everybody knows what's going on. So. You know, yeah, I mean, you want to get it right. It's different for those that are writing stories and those that are talking about a story, especially when you're talking about it real time. For us, like if a story comes out, I mean, we are basically reacting to information that is coming to us, whether we be right or wrong, we're just reacting. Right. Now, if you are the guy that has to write it, now you have to be more right than we do.
Yeah, we just blather.
Exactly. We just got to we're just getting information, and we're kind of, you know, basing our opinion based upon the information, and we can like you said, we can change ours.
And it's okay. Here's the other thing. It has to be okay that in the moment maybe you feel one way, right? Like in the moment there's emotion, there's all kinds of intensity, there's, you know, okay, I've got to have a take on this, and you know, it's okay to let it sit for 2 days, and all of a sudden you go, maybe I feel a little differently about something. Maybe I like this a little less, or I like this a little more, or, you know, whatever is a part of the story. And this is not just a sports problem. This is, you know, when all these horrific shootings happen, and all of a sudden we all have to rush to have a big story, or, you know, oh, I read the manifesto, or like, well, maybe just... When it comes to really serious stuff, this is sports, so it's very different. But when it comes to really serious stuff, like let's just maybe wait a day or two and let things sink in, really digest stuff, and then kind of formulate what we think and how we feel and what we see about stuff. Like to me, as I was watching yesterday unfold, the one thing that I kept thinking was trading Marcus makes no sense.
In sports, you can't wait.
Right. Well, especially on a day of a deadline. Like a day of a deadline, it's a little different. But as I'm watching it unfold... Like, sure, we had conversations this week about Marcus being traded in last week, and that's because that's our job. We have to sort of look at every angle, right? But the more and more I thought about trading Marcus Mariota off this roster today or yesterday, it makes no sense. Like, if you want to win games this year, Ryan Tannehill is injury-prone and has fumbled 3 times in 2 games, but behind a terrible offensive line, chances are you're going to need another quarterback if you want to try to make the playoffs this year. You're also going to get a compensatory pick if he walks at the end of the year. So unless you're going to get a better deal than that, that doesn't make any sense. That's the same thing that Leonard Williams' deal just was with the Jets and the Giants. Like the Giants gave up a third-round pick,
mm-hmm.
knowing that if he walks at the end of the year, they're going to get their third-round pick back. So it just never made sense. Like unless you're getting a first or a second-round pick for a sort of mentally broken quarterback and then leaving yourself without a backup, it just the whole process never made sense to me. And you know, sure, we joke and have a good conversation about, you know, how, what would it look like if you traded Marcus? Like, that's an important conversation. Yesterday, I'm watching it all unfold going, this doesn't make any sense for the Titans. If I'm Mike Vrabel, I want to win this year. I'm 4-4. I'm in the race. I need all hands on deck to try to win
quickly.
To try to win this year.
And I know we keep, you know, the Marcus broken thing and everything else. But, and this is just me, and this is I always, and maybe it's because I'm the way I was raised, you know, and having older brothers and them, you know, beating you down, and you always got to be mentally tough, that if they broke you mentally, I don't want you on my team, man. I really don't want you on my team. I just don't, because this is a no-nonsense business, and they can love you today and hate you tomorrow. And if they broke you mentally, then you might as well stop playing now.
Well, physically, he might be broken too.
Yeah,
right?
Physically, like I can understand the physical part. It's nothing you can. I mean, if you hurt, you hurt. But one thing you're not going to do is break me mentally. Now, I might have some limitations in my physical ability because I'm hurt, but you're not going. I don't care what you do. And maybe it's just me and the way I was raised. I don't care what you do. You're not going to break me mentally. That's one thing you're not going to do. Because once you're broken mentally, there's no coming back. If you go to another team, there's no coming back. Because the minute you have adversity, you're going to shrink back down. So I hope, let's not say Marcus is broken mentally. Because if he's broken mentally, Marcus, retire. Please retire.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought yesterday between the working out of quarterbacks and the, quote, news coming down about Marcus – the thought did enter my head that maybe Marcus is retiring.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. He's not cut from the Jake Locker cloth where he just doesn't care about the game.
I think he's cut from the Andrew Luck cloth.
But he could be cut from the Andrew Luck cloth where he's like, listen, he's making $20 million this year. Yeah. It's not like he needs money. Mm-hmm. So, he could absolutely walk away from the game and just be like, listen, I'm going to go help my community out or whatever. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him do that. And that, I would wish him best of luck. I only say the broken as a phrase just because it was that's what kept coming to mind.
No, I'm not saying he is.
Right.
I hope he's
not. I just say that because when I watch the Denver game, I look at a quarterback who he wasn't the same guy anymore. It was a different player, whether it's physical or mental or whatever. He wasn't the same guy. And I'm with you. There's also a reason, Derek, that a fourth round pick ended up on a Hall of Fame ballot. Like, that's why you ended up where you ended up, is because you do have abilities that not everybody has, and you were able to use those to sustain a really long, successful career. And that's not everybody's got that ability, and maybe Marcus doesn't. Who knows?
I don't know if Marcus is broken, but I am broken personally.
No.
In one aspect of sports. There is just something that has now reached a tipping point for me.
Oh.
It went down last night in the World Series, but it's across all of sports.
Oh, okay.
We got to get to this on the other side. Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.